If you've experienced the cycle of toxic relationships and you're sick and tired of feeling stuck, sad, and lonely, now is the time to heal and create your best life. In this podcast, you'll hear world-class toxic relationship recovery expert Stephanie McPhail sharing the support, guidance, and tools you need so you can be truly happy whether you're single or in a relationship. She is the real deal. I should know, she's my wife. Here's your host, Stephanie.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Toxic Love Transformation. I'm your host, Stephanie McPhail. And you've been following us for the past few weeks. We've been going through the process of healing from the cycle of toxic relationships so that you can reinvent your life and create something that you could have possibly never imagined before. We have gone through, and if you haven't gotten a copy yet of this, Reinvent Your Life After Divorce, definitely go to beinglovedshouldn'thurt.com/links and grab yourself a copy so that you can follow along with us. But step one that we went through was, how did I get here? Number two, build your team. Number three, discover your passions. And number four is understanding yourself. So those are some of the different steps. And of course, we're going to be going into five and six in the upcoming weeks. So if this is your first time coming on and hanging out with us, welcome. Make sure that you grab yourself a writing utensil. You want to be able to take notes because I'm going to give you some action steps, some things you can actually start implementing right away to start really reinventing your life after divorce or breakup. So welcome, everyone. As always, I love being here with all of you and sharing this knowledge with you because, like so many of you, I was stuck in the cycle of toxic relationships. When I ended my first marriage, I thought I could just figure it out. I was smart. I was intelligent. I thought I knew what to do. And I noticed that things kept happening. I kept ending up with toxic people. And even though I was no longer in that marriage, I was finding myself repeating patterns. And of course, we want to take away the possibility of that happening again, or if it does happen for you, to quickly see it so that we don't waste any more time with the wrong people in our lives. We want to make sure that we're having supportive, inspirational people in our lives or single. Either way, we feel happy and good in ourselves. And of course, it takes the work in between relationships to make sure that we heal so that we don't, again, repeat those patterns. So today we're going to talk about step four, which is understanding self. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about how you've had all these different experiences in your life. And for some of us, we might have said, like, why has this happened to me? Why couldn't have things been easier? Why did I have to end up in that terrible relationship? Why did I have to end up having the experiences that I've had? And Tony Robbins made a really good point in I'm Not Your Guru. If you haven't seen it, definitely go check it out. But he talks to someone about how there is a gift in some of the negative things that you've experienced. Now, I understand that when you were going through it, whatever you've experienced, because some of us have, we've all dealt with trauma at some point in our lives. We've experienced these terrible things. Having that experience is terrible. That doesn't take anything away. But what we can decide to do is take that information and learn from it and grow. Not only does that help with our own growth, but that actually helps with other people's growth if we're able to share those experiences. So if we start looking at what we've had in our lives, instead of saying, poor me, why has this happened? And to continually reliving what we've experienced in the past, we can look at it and say, this happened for me. This experience happened for me so that I can learn from it. And I bet if you start looking at it that way, it can make you see things a little bit differently. You know, one of the examples that I give is if life had been perfect and I wouldn't have had experiences with toxic relationships or my parents' marriage would have been perfect or any of these other things, I would not be the empathetic person that I am. I mean, maybe, but who knows? I experienced what I experienced. And because of that, I can understand from a very different perspective why people do the things that they do. And because I understand that, that allows me to help people at a deeper level. I bet you that you are probably pretty empathetic. You are probably very caring. You're probably a very wonderful person. We are when we've been through these experiences. The biggest thing we need to learn from that is still be that kind, wonderful, amazing person, but have boundaries. And of course, we're not going to talk about that today, but we are going to talk about boundaries the next time we meet. So people that, if we keep in mind that life is happening for us, and the other part Obstacles are learning opportunities for us. And people that trigger us are a mirror for us to look at where we need possibly healing and growth. Those people that annoy us, if we keep seeing repetitions of similar types of people, think of them as mirrors. Oftentimes we get automatically into this reactionary mode. And instead of being in that reactionary mode, we could say to ourselves and actually start thinking about what we think about, that metacognition, where maybe our temper is flared. Maybe we're ending up in this other toxic relationship. If we can look at who maybe that person reminds us of, is this a parent? Is this a former relationship? Is someone saying something that's made you feel bad in the past? So therefore, whatever they're saying now is extra triggering and now we're extra responsive to it. If we start looking at our reactions and our feelings to things as learning opportunities, instead of automatically reacting to them, then we can start to make major shifts for ourselves. But again, it's taking that blame and shame off of it and instead looking for the learning opportunity. What is the lesson? Now, one of the things that we do a lot when we are healing is we, when we're in these relationships, is we do a lot of self-sabotage. As we're understanding ourselves, it's important to realize where we are creating that self-sabotage. We probably don't realize we're doing it. You know, now that I've done the healing work and I'm on the other side and helping other people heal too, I can look at the times that I sabotaged my success because I was afraid, because I thought maybe I wasn't good enough or that it wasn't possible for me to change. You know, I wasn't taking action because of fear that I would be alone. Maybe this was the best that I could get. So I was sabotaging my potential success. Even when I was out of the relationship, I thought my hyper-independent self wanted to take care of it by myself. And because subconsciously I didn't think that I was good enough or it wasn't possible for me to create something different, I was sabotaging the potential for creating a healthy relationship, which was reiterating my fear that I wasn't good enough or it wasn't possible to create something different for myself. So we tend to self-sabotage, and most of the time that is subconscious. We're not purposely saying, let me find another person who reminds me of my father or my mother or my first long-term relationship or whoever that person was that maybe initially caused the trauma to you. We're not deciding that consciously. It's subconscious because those wounds that haven't been healed is subconsciously looking to replay them in the hopes that they will finally work through and now we will feel loved and accepted. So we are self-sabotaging our possibility of creating something different because we're afraid, because we have that fear. Now, why do we do that? We're trying to avoid those big feelings. If we don't have to look in the mirror and look at where we're repeating patterns, then we don't have to deal with the big feelings that are associated with working on ourselves. We avoid. Our brain wants to keep us out of pain. And so even though we might say to ourselves consciously, I don't want to be in a toxic relationship ever again, but we don't heal, we don't get the right support, we don't know how to create a healthy relationship, we are going to end up in another unhealthy relationship, statistically, right? I mean, that's most of the time what happens. Now, we will keep doing that until a part of us is like, okay, I need to do something different, but different is scary. So we might finally say to ourselves, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I need to do something different, but it's scary to do something different. The pain that we know is different from the pain that we don't know. So our brain goes into protection mode, thinking that it's protecting us from these big feelings. And all it's doing instead is extending the pain and discomfort. Avoiding ending that toxic relationship kept you in the relationship longer and had you waste more time, deal with more abuse, be with someone longer that wasn't supportive and inspiring and helpful towards you, and instead with someone negative towards you. The longer we put that off, the more we have to endure it. And again, it's because it's what we know. It takes discomfort to make changes. It's like when somebody wants to quit smoking cigarettes or quit any like drug of choice. You know, when we are in toxic relationships, the drug of choice is the toxic relationship. You're talking about actual substances. I'll use tobacco as an example. But if somebody wants to quit smoking, they're going to have withdrawals, and it's going to feel really uncomfortable when we are going through the withdrawals. But the good news is that if you can deal 72 hours without nicotine, the physical withdrawals will stop, and some of the emotional stuff will start to get triggered. Then we have to deal with the emotional part of the addiction to it. And whether it's heroin, alcohol, whatever it is, that's always the case. There's the actual physical withdrawals, and then there's the emotional withdrawals. When you are in this toxic relationship, the withdrawals feel like death. They feel terrible. And so our brain is like, what can make me feel better? And your brain will start to tell you, oh, try to reach out to them. Try to rehash the issues that happened. Try to fix it. Try to make it work. Or find someone else to fill up that pain right away so that you don't have to heal all or feel all of those big feelings. And then what ends up happening? We end up in another unhealthy relationship. So our brain will try to help us not deal with the pain by avoiding. And we might just switch addictions where instead of going for the person this time, now we're going for the drugs or alcohol or vice versa. So it's a really interesting thing how we do that. And most of that is on the subconscious level, which is so cool because David does Psyche, which helps with the subconscious beliefs, which is a really cool part because we act so often on that subconscious where we're just automatic pilots instead of the conscious level. And part of healing is bringing the subconscious to conscious so that we can make different choices for ourselves. So one of the things that you can use or what you need to think about is how can I use what I've learned to help me heal? Well, one of the things that we do is that we get stuck. And that goes back to the sabotaging. We get stuck. We say to ourselves, and this is what I said too. I ended the relationship. I'm just never going to do that again. But I don't know what to do to make anything different for myself. I felt stuck. I felt like it should be better, but it's not. I still feel overwhelmed. I still can't sleep. I'm still creating, like finding these unhealthy people. I just really feel stuck. And again, that feeling stuck goes back to the sabotage. If we don't believe it's possible for us to create something healthy and happy, where we have a life that we're excited to wake up to every day, then the default is to feel like we're stuck and then not take action on creating something different for ourselves. It's a coping mechanism. So one of the things that you could do to get yourself out of feeling stuck is ask yourself these questions. What would I say to a friend if they were in this situation? Because I will tell you, most of you would probably, if they had a friend that was in exactly the same position as you, you know what you would have probably said to them. And you probably didn't tell people exactly what was going on for you because you might have known what they were going to say and you didn't want to hear it because there was so much shame and embarrassment that was associated with it. So I want you to be real when you're asking yourself these questions. This is for you. This is not for anybody else. Nobody else to see your notes. This is just for you. And if you're still in the toxic relationship, put these notes somewhere that are safe, whether it's writing it down and having a hiding place for it or putting it in a folder that would not be visible for someone. That is, if you're still living in them or you're afraid they're going to find your information because there is cyber abuse for some people, make sure that you are safe. That's always the priority. For those of you who are out, keep this list handy so you can look at it and remind yourself. So the question is, what would I say to a friend? This is how we get unstuck. Another thing we would say is, how can we use our experience to help us heal? How can we help, or how can we use what we've experienced to help us heal? Another question to ask ourselves, what am I doing to avoid these big feelings? What do I have to gain by avoiding these big feelings? And you're going to want to have to go back to this later because you're going to want to spend some time going through each and every single one of these. I do recommend 2 to 3 minutes for answering every single one. The next one, what do I have to gain by not healing? And now some of you might be like, well, I want to heal. What are you talking about? That's why I'm here. I want to heal. But again, when we're looking at sabotage, sometimes again, making that unconscious conscious is Like, and so I'll give you an example. If the question is, what do I have to gain by not healing? And we're trying to understand ourselves. What we might have to gain is not feeling those big feelings, not having to deal with the trauma that I've experienced, not having to be alone for a possible, you know, length of time as we do our healing. Maybe it's, you know, avoiding family issues, because we know that as we start uncovering things, there's going to be family issues that come up that we don't want to deal with, that we've been avoiding. So ask yourself and be real and honest, and whatever question or whatever answer comes to your mind from this question is, what do I have to gain by not healing? David always calls this the secondary gains by not healing. The next thing you can ask yourself, am I making assumptions about whatever situation that I'm dealing with? Whether this is the toxic relationship or there's an issue that's coming up for you, am I making assumptions? The next question, are my thoughts supportive of my best self? Are my thoughts supportive of my best self? So if we're telling ourselves, and be aware, because you would be amazed at what you're thinking. And if you said it out loud, you'd have someone say to you, like, "What? Why are you saying those terrible, horrible things to yourself?" But we do it so often. Are we telling ourselves, you're not smart enough, it's not possible for you, you're screwed up, you're messed up, you don't deserve somebody that loves you, there's no good guys out there, you're too old, you missed the boat, this is the best you're going to get. Look at and be aware. This is, again, without judgment of any kind. Start being aware of that voice inside of you that is telling you whatever it's telling you. You know, I brought a group of women on a retreat to Costa Rica, and I had them do this exercise where I said, you know, write down some of the things that you've told yourselves. And there were things like, you're not attractive anymore. You know, you're too screwed up. No good guys would want you. You know, the whole list. And some of them were things that they had actually heard before. Some things were things that they were telling themselves. And then I had them read it to somebody else. And it's like gonna make me cry just thinking about it. All of the women in this activity, all of them were crying, because the ones saying it out loud actually said, you know, I didn't want to say those things to my partner that I was telling them to, because I didn't want them to hear those terrible things. And the person who's listening to it was like, it made me so sad that they felt this way about themselves. And so we don't even realize those negative things that we are telling ourselves over and over again. We have to be aware of what we are thinking. Think about what we think about and be prepared to now say something different. So if we tell ourselves all the time, it's not possible for us to change, we're not good enough, we're too old, nobody will want us, all of those things. I would say the second part of the activity is, and I'm going to go through other questions for you to ask yourself, but the second part of your activity for that is, after you write down the negative things that you've said to yourself, then I want you to make another column that's going to tell us what things you could say instead, so that you're ready for it. Because we already know we're saying negative things to ourselves. So the next time we catch ourselves saying, oh, you just don't look that good anymore, or you'd look a lot better if you lost 10 pounds, or whatever those things are. And again, be careful also what we're saying to our kids and other people. That's a whole other thing. But when we say those negative things to ourselves, what could be something that we say more positively? So if you'd look a lot better, or you looked way better in your 20s, like everybody looked amazing in their 20s. You know, it's like you could do anything, and you're just, your body was so different. How about, I love and respect my body. I am grateful for all the things and the opportunities it has given me. And really feeling that in-tuned connection to your body. Instead of hating our bodies, and women, we are notorious for this. Instead of hating our bodies, what beautiful, wonderful things can we tell our bodies about being happy and grateful? Because none of this is possible without this body. And we are, you know, we get too sucked into, you know, social media and fashion magazines and all that kind of stuff. We compare ourselves to those people, and it's not reality. I mean, all the airbrushing and all that kind of stuff. What if we just appreciated our bodies and who we are? And of course, that's just one of the examples, but appreciating that you have a special gift that nobody else has is a pretty cool thing. So what are some things that you could do to start changing those negative things that you are telling yourself into your head? The next one is, are my thoughts supportive of my best self? And I think I said that one already, but are my thoughts supportive of my best self? Like, that's what we're just talking about. Who can I talk to about whatever the situation is? Reaching out to me as a coach who specializes in helping people heal and reinvent their lives after a divorce or breakup, or they're starting the process, whatever the case is. Is it a psychologist? Is it a therapist? Is it a friend? Do we have people that we can reach out to? Who can I reach out to talk about all of this with? So give yourself some time to do that. And then this is the last activity, is I want you to take some time to interview your doubter. Again, this whole topic is about understanding yourself. The more we can understand ourselves, the more we can understand why we're doing the things that we're doing. So I want you to, and this is how you interview your doubter. I want you to sit down with a piece of paper and I want you to ask yourself the question, how will I fail? Or how can I, or how do I think I will fail? And write down whatever comes to mind and do this for 5 to 10 minutes, free thinking, free writing. Don't question what comes out on paper. Keep writing for the entire 5 to 10 minutes. And if you're not sure how to do that, once you ask that initial question, you could say, and then what? And why else? And why else? And the more that you can get all of that stuff out from inside of you and put it out there for you, nobody else has to see this, but for you to actually see where you're thinking you're not going to succeed at living on your own, ending that relationship, creating an amazing relationship, being by yourself, whatever those things are. Once you start looking at the doubts that are popping up into your head, again, the metacognition, think about what we're thinking about, then we can start to look at each one of those objections that our doubter is telling us, and we can come up with solutions. So for every one of those things that your brain is saying, you can't do those things, what is going to be your solution to that problem? You know, I've had people that were like, well, I'm gonna go back to school. You know, I wanna change careers. So then the next thing is, well, I have to go back to school. And the next thing is, well, I'm too old to go back to school. So then my question to you is, what's gonna happen in the next 5 years? Are you going to stay the same? Is time going to pass? Time's going to pass anyway. Might as well actually actively work on the things that we want to create for ourselves than to use that time still doing what we don't want to create for ourselves. We get to have that choice. We get to decide if we want to spend the time that we have creating a life that we're excited to wake up to every day with the possibilities, or if we're going to keep living this life that we're not happy and excited about every day. We get to make that decision. And all of that doubter is the insecurities, the fears, all of those things. If we can look at it and use it as a learning opportunity instead to see maybe where we need extra support. Maybe you need the coach. Maybe you need the therapist. Maybe you need to go back to school. Maybe you need more education. Maybe you need more support. Wherever that is, once we are aware of where the issues are, then we can find support and make the changes that we need to, because we can put it in our conscious mind and it's not just something under the surface telling us things that are not helpful for us to grow and move forward. So I know that was a lot of information that I just threw out there. Definitely do this assignment. I know that you can't really do it while you're listening to me because I didn't give you that much time to answer every single one of them. When you end this, please go back, or if you were watching this and you paused, then excellent. But please make sure you go through every single one of these, do the activity. I promise you, you're going to get a whole lot out of it. And for anyone who's like, I'm stuck and I'm not sure where to start, again, go and download beinglovedshouldn'thurt.com/links, and you can go ahead and grab your freebie of Reinvent Yourself After Divorce. Get your copy so that you can start going through the process as well. So on that note, it's always wonderful hanging out with you. Love spending this time with you and sharing all this information. Remember, I would have never imagined in a million years that I would be helping people, which means I am no guru. If I can heal and change and create a new life for myself, you can too. The difference is the action that we're taking, the support and the tools in order to create that next best chapter of our life. So thank you everybody for tuning in. As always, love hanging out with you. Never forget, you are way stronger than you realize. See you next episode. Bye everybody.
So that's it for today's episode of Toxic Love Podcast. Head on over to iTunes or wherever you subscribe to your shows. One lucky listener every single week who subscribes and posts a review on iTunes will be entered for a chance to win the grand prize VIP drawing with Stephanie McPhail herself. Be sure to head on over to ToxicLovePodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Stephanie's gift. And join us next time.